Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight, and be opening to the book of Ephesians tonight. I believe we're going to be turning into the book of Ephesians. Everybody opening to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4, as we're continuing looking at our theme for Sunday night, one another. Again, this phrase is found 59 times in the New Testament. I think 8 are used by Jesus. The Apostle Paul uses it 8 times alone in the second half of the book of Romans, and then uses it quite often throughout the rest of his epistles here in the New Testament. So tonight we're going to be looking at, I think, one of the most important things in the life of a church and the life of a believer, and that is this thing of forgiving one another. Draw your attention to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would, verses 31 and 32. These last two verses here, the apostle says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another." We did that one already, if you remember. "Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Father, we thank you for tonight. We ask for your blessings upon our service this evening. Ask for your wisdom and your Holy Spirit to guide and to teach us and to help us with this passage of Scripture on forgiving one another and how important it is in our lives. Father, and we'll ask it within Jesus' name, amen and amen. To forgive someone is to show pardon and to give grace. Undeserved favors, what grace is. When we forgive, then we are graciously pardoning them. And so that's what we want. Forgiveness is me giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. Okay? Let me say it again. Forgiveness is me giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. All right? The importance of a reconciled life to God and reconciling one to another all hinges on this thing of forgiving one another. And so we must learn to forgive one another. It's important that we forgive one another, and that we forgive one another in the church, in our family members, our children, our grandchildren, people that have hurt us, people that have wronged us. And we could go on and on with that list. But it is so important that we learn this passage of Scripture, because it will change your life. It'll change your home, your marriage. It'll change your church. It'll change attitudes. It will change everything if we learn to forgive. Now, let me share some things with you that I found that would help us, that I think would help us, of the effects on a non-forgiving heart. Let me share with you some things that will cause and will happen if you and I are not willing to forgive one another. All right, is everybody with me on this? So let's take a look at some of the effects very quickly. I think you have that there in your study notes tonight. Of a non-forgiving heart, I think one of the first thing it does, bring anger and bitterness into every relationship and a new experience. When you and I fail to forgive one another, it's going to bring that anger and bitterness into every other relationship and new experience that we're going to have. If we're not willing to forgive one another and to forgive, that's what it's going to happen. These are the effects it's going to have. It's going to cause us to bring that anger and bitterness into every relationship and experience that we may have. When we fail to forgive, we become so wrapped up in the wrong that you can't enjoy the present. See, we get ourselves and we become so wrapped up in the wrong that's been done on either side of the coin or either party that we cannot even enjoy the presence in our lives. Now, this is what happens when we don't forgive. Another thing it will do, we become depressed or anxious, anxiety. When we fail to forgive one another and offer forgiveness, then it's going to bring about depression and anxiety in our lives. And certainly that's something we do not do. See, these are the effects that happens in your life and in my life when we fail not to forgive one another. And then another one is we feel that your life lacks meaning or purpose, or that your faith is failing. See, when we forget, and I have talked with folks here in the past, gone by, that I've seen that very thing happen in their life. They lack of this, and I'm talking about being angry and mad at God. Being angry and mad at God and not even wanting to forgive God, and they begin to feel like their own life lacks purpose, or this is the biggest one, they tell me that their faith is failing. And this is what happens when we fail to forgive one another and to offer that forgiveness to one another, and especially if we fail to forgive God. Because you see, when something happens in our lives and we have a tendency to want to blame God for it, and well, God didn't answer my prayer, and it didn't come out the way I wanted it, and the way it happened, and I've prayed, and I fasted, and had the church pray, and I mean, we could go on and on with that scenario, and yet it didn't come out like we wanted, and then we have a tendency to our faith, and we begin to blame God for it, and then we begin to, our faith begins to fail in the very person we've been trying to pray to. And over this, and it's, and you know what, sometimes you just need to forgive one another. You need to forgive yourself, and you need to forgive God. It's not God's fault. God certainly didn't do it, and we don't want to allow that to bring that into our lives. And then I think another thing that happens when the effects that it has on our life, when we fail to forgive one another, is we lose a valuable and enriching connectedness with others. We simply just lose the value of having that connection with others that's so important in our lives when we fail to forgive. Because, folks, I mean, so we have to understand, because they live their lives in unforgiveness. And this is what happens when we fail to live our lives in unforgiveness. So those are some unpleasant thoughts that come about from not wanting to forgive and give forgiveness and offer forgiveness. And by the way, you know, and by the way, some people will carry that to their grave. By the way, some people will carry that to their grave. Some people will carry bitterness and unforgiveness and anger and all of this. They will carry it right down to their grave. I mean, they just do. Reminds me of the dear lady that went to the funeral home to make her arrangements, and she was writing everything out, and then she passed away, and in the note she wrote, she said, "They didn't care to take me out when I was alive, so I don't want them taking me out when I'm dead." See what the pallbearer's carrying around. Man, see, she was taking that unforgiveness all the way to her grave. And you know, you don't need to do that. You got to let this thing go. And so, hey, let's face it, we all have a need to receive forgiveness. We all have a need to receive forgiveness. Every one of us in here has that need to receive forgiveness. We all need it personally. We all need this forgiveness personally, because why? We've all transgressed, have we not? Look at read verse 31. He says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you." Now, Paul's writing a letter to believers here, church. This is a letter to the church of Ephesus, to believers. So if this wasn't happening or going on, the Holy Spirit of God wouldn't have him write that. Amen? And at times or two, we've all have experienced bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and therefore we have a need ourselves to receive forgiveness. We all need it personally, because we have transgressed against God, we've transgressed against each other, and you have that need for forgiveness. I have the need for forgiveness. No one's perfect in here. Okay? There's no perfect person on this planet. No perfect choir member, no perfect musician, no perfect pastor. I mean, and we all have these problems, and we all deal with this, and we all need forgiveness. You have a need for forgiveness. I have a need for forgiveness. So therefore, let us forgive one another. Because if not, those things that I gave you in your notes, don't lose that page, those pages tonight. You need to keep these in your Bible, because this will happen, will affect your life tremendously if we fail to forgive one another and offer and give forgiveness. And we all need it. You know why? Because some of us have got some hidden sins. See, we all need forgiveness personally tonight because of we all have transgressions and we all have some hidden sins. And you've got some sins that I don't know about. And I may have some you don't know about. And therefore, I need forgiveness for even those hidden sins just like you do. So we need forgiveness personally. Why? Because we have all transgressed. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none of us righteous, no, not one, okay? None of us that doeth good, no, not one. We've all gone out of our way and become unprofitable servants. So we got a lot going against us, don't we? Amen? And so therefore, we need forgiveness. I need God's forgiveness. You need God's forgiveness. I need it personally. I need it for the transgressions that I have committed. And you need it. And then we need to forgive one another. Jesus said what? Forgive those who have trespassed against you. In the Lord's Prayer, well, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but that's how he's teaching us to pray. When you pray, pray this. And forgive those that have trespassed against you. And folks, people are going to trespass against you. And that's why you need to give them forgiveness, because guess what? You have too. And you need to have that forgiveness brought back. So we need this because of hidden sins that we may have in our lives. I need that personal forgiveness from the Lord. We need forgiveness. And the apostle says here, writing to the church of Ephesus, he says, you need to be forgiving one another. And so we need to learn a whole, if not, I'll tell you what it's going to do. It's going to cause anger and bitterness to come into every relationship that you have. Because when you fail to forgive, you take that into any relationship that you got. You're going to take it with you. You're going to become so wrapped up in what's been done wrong to you or someone else, you can't even enjoy the present. And I've met people like that. Man, they're so bitter in their heart. They're so angry in their heart. They've gone so that they just won't let go of that thing. They want to hang on to that thing. And they can't even enjoy the present of life within itself. Let it go. Let it go. It's not worth going to your grave for. It's not worth staying unhappy. It's not worth not having any joy. And I've seen people become depressed over forgiveness. And have anxiety dwell up in their lives. I've seen where people have lacked meaning and purpose, or now all of a sudden their faith is failing. It's not your faith that's failing, folks. You just need to forgive. You just need to forgive. And don't lose a valuable and enriching connection with others. Okay, that keep those things in mind, those five things. Very important what will happen. Matter of fact, once one theologian said this, anger may be handled wrongly in either one or two ways, blowing up or clamming up. You're either going to blow up or you're going to clam up. And that's not the way to handle anger. The way you handle it is forgiveness. Forgiving one another. Not only do I need forgiveness to receive it because of my, for personally do I need it for some hidden sins, but I need it for hateful sins. Look back at the verse again, what he said there. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. These are hateful sins. And we need to forgive those to those that have either done it to us or even to ourselves. And let me give you some definitions here. He used the word wrath there. Let all bitterness and wrath. The word wrath means passion, heat, fierce rage. You know anybody like that? Oh, man, you need to let it go. See, these are hateful sins. He said, let all anger. That means blowing up violent emotions. Okay, just give me some definition. Benjamin Franklin. How many of you know Dr. Benjamin Franklin? Okay, he's on a $100 bill. If you haven't seen one lately, go to the bank and borrow one, all right? Ben Franklin's on the $100 bill, okay? All right, and so, but Dr. Benjamin Franklin said this, anger is never without a reason, but seldom with a good one. I'll say it again. Dr. Benjamin Franklin, one of our founding fathers, anger is never without a reason, but seldom with a good one. Okay? Then he used the word clamor there. That means a crying, an outcry, a noisy complaint. Paul says, put all this out from you. Put this away from you. And how we do that is through forgiveness. Then he said evil speaking. Now here's one we got to really be careful with. Evil speaking is slander. Now that's exactly what one party just did to a man trying to run for the Supreme Court. Okay? I don't care whether you're a Dem or a Repub or a Tea Party or a Green Ticket or whatever else. What that party did to that man and his family and his children and his wife was just totally evil and wicked slander and was totally uncalled for. I mean, what they did to that man for those few weeks and national television and all that they brought these false accusations and lies and slander against his character, his testimony, the death threats, his wife, his children are going to be, they're going to be marred for life with that of what they've done. Boy, if for no other reason, I wouldn't vote for one, even if I was one. The embarrassment they would have brought to my party for doing that. There's no call for that. But all evil speaking, my goodness, that's a detraction. That's words which harm another person's good name. And Paul says, you put that away, and instead you be forgiving and tenderhearted. How many have had their character and their testimony and their life, and pastors ruined because of false accusations and slander and evil speaking, words that would harm that pastor and his testimony and his character and his life. That's a dangerous one. You know, rather than speaking evil about them and detraction and words that might harm them, why don't you forgive them? That's what Paul's trying to tell us. Rather than doing that, forgive them because they need forgiveness if something's happened, but just like you need it too. Even the person that's doing all of this, if they're doing the slander and all that, guess what? They need forgiveness for that because that's a hateful sin. And they need forgiveness of that. So we need forgiveness for that, okay? And so there's some things there we need to keep in mind, you see, why we need to forgive one another. I have a need to receive forgiveness. I have a need to receive it personally because of hidden sins. I have a need to receive it personally because of hateful sins, because if I have clamored against someone, if I've got bitterness in my heart, if there's some wrath in my heart, there's some anger, and I gave you what the definitions of those were, that's why I did that, then folks, I have a need for forgiveness. Just like you do. And I need to ask God for forgiveness, and I need to ask you forgiveness if I've done it against you. Why don't we see that anymore? No, we just go on and keep living and acting just like nothing's going wrong and everything's fine and no fear of God, and we take it from one place to the next. You know what I'm talking about. It's going on in churches today, something fierce. We jump from church to church and blaspheme and talk about people and run people down and go to the next church and do the same thing and spread false lies and accusations and so forth and then go to the next one. Folks, that needs to stop. Boy, we need a revival in the church today. We need a revival amongst God's people today in the church. Okay? I mean, we should have had a revival this morning. I need to receive forgiveness from you, from the Lord, just as you need it from the Lord and from me. Forgiving one another, loving one another, tender-hearted, kind. That's what we need. Not only do we need it there, do we need forgiveness, but we need to receive, we all need it spiritually. We need forgiveness spiritually. That is forgiveness. That is the forgiveness of God. Not only do I need your forgiveness, but I need God's forgiveness. Amen? This is what we've been saying. You see, we need spiritual forgiveness. Why is that? Because what does Romans 3:23 say? For what? Say it with me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who has? We've all sinned, and whose sin have we done? We've come short of God. We've missed God's mark, therefore we need God's forgiveness spiritually. Amen? I need it personally, I need it spiritually. Romans 5:10, Paul put it this way, for if, when we were enemies, We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And that's why we need God's forgiveness spiritually. We need to be reconciled to a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. The word reconcile means to call back into union and friendship. It means to be brought into a friendship from a state of disagreement or intimacy. That's why we need to be reconciled. And we need to be reconciled to one another. And that's through forgiveness. So you see, tonight, every one of us in here, church, we need forgiveness. We need to receive it. We need to receive it personally because for hidden sins. We need to receive it personally for hateful sins. And we find that in verse 31, there are those words. And then we need to receive forgiveness spiritually because we've all sinned. I mean, let's make that clear. Romans 3:10 says, "For there is none righteous, no, not one." So if you think you're righteous, well, God says you're not. Hello. We got a lot of people that walk around trying to think they're righteous and trying to convince everybody that they are, but God says you're not. We have a lot of people go around and say, "Well, I'm just as good as the next, and I'm better than anybody else, and I'm good, and I'm goody this and goody that, and I do all this good." But God says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, if God says that, then that's what it says. That doesn't rub too well with us, do we? We don't want to hear that. Man, don't tell me I don't do good. I'm good. Well, God says I'm not. And so, hey, he's the boss. He's the Alpha. Okay? He's the Alpha. You're not going to argue with the Alpha. You're not going to win with the Alpha. And he's the Alpha Lord, not the Alpha Dog. I got the Alpha Dog. He's the Alpha Lord. Amen? You get that straight. I hope some of them walk out of here this morning and say, "A preacher compared God to the dog." I hope you have more wisdom than that. Okay? Just trying to find a quick illustration. That was the first thing that came to my thought, to my mind, because the vet says I have an Alpha Dog. And I believe him. All right? So, hey, so we need forgiveness. All of us need to receive it. Amen? All right, so the second thing to thought tonight. We need to give forgiveness. Hello? You see, we need to give it. How many of you need to receive it tonight? How many in here need to receive forgiveness tonight? At one time or another, you need to receive it. I don't care if it's today, tomorrow, next week. Hang in here. Guess what? There's going to come a time you're going to need some forgiveness. And you're going to need your son or your daughter, your grandmother, your grandfather, your mother, father. You're going to need them to forgive you. You're going to need your boss to forgive you. You're going to need the neighbor to forgive you. You're going to need God to forgive you. And you're going to want it. So just think how much you want forgiveness and how much you want to receive that forgiveness. Then we ought to be willing to give it also. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? Amen? If you want to put it in terms like that, all right? So, hey, if I want to receive it, then there's something I need to do. I need to give it. That's what Paul said. We're commanded here to forgive one another. I'm telling you, and just hang in here with me because it's going to get better when we go through this thing. We need to forget. We need to give forgiveness. Now, I want to give you some things. Why should we? Think about that for me just for a moment. Why should we give forgiveness? All right, can you pick it out there in the verse? I'll tell you why. Because God calls us to forgive. Look at verse 32 with me. Everybody, verse 32. "And be ye kind one to another." Now, "be ye" is a present imperative. It's a command. "Tenderhearted," here it is, "forgiving one another." So God, you know why I need to forgive you? Because God has what? Because God has called us to forgive. God has commanded us to forgive. God's called us to forgive. We're forgiving one another. Okay? And how are we to forgive one another? What we said in the beginning. We're to forgive one another with grace and with pardon. How many of you like God's grace? How many of you want God's grace? How many of you want somebody to forgive you with grace? You know what grace is? It's unmerited favor. See, when somebody forgives you and I, they forgive us with unmerited favor. We don't deserve it, but they give it to us anyway. And that's what God does for us. We all do the same thing then. And when somebody forgives me, you know what they've done? They've pardoned me. You know what they've done when they've pardoned me? They've released me. And I didn't have to wait for the governor to give me a pardon from prison. I didn't have to wait for the president to give me a pardon to get me out of federal penitentiary. I got freed and got pardoned when that brother or sister in Christ forgave me. Free, free at last, and free indeed. You say, we need to forgive. We are now. Here's the thing when it comes to forgiveness. All right, I hope this will help you out. Here's a little quote we found. We are either scorekeepers or grace givers. We're either scorekeepers or grace givers. Which are you going to be? So you're going to keep score? Well, they're 10 to 1 on me. Can't do that, folks. You got to give because God calls you to forgive. Listen to what Romans 12, Paul says here. Dearly beloved. See, we don't want to be scorekeepers. Dearly beloved, or dearly beloved, Paul's writing to the church of Rome, avenge not yourselves. Don't get even. Don't get mad. Get glad. Okay? You with me? But rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. You let God take care of them. He's bigger than you and I, and He can do it. See, when you forgive them, you release yourself. Number one, you free yourself, you free them whether they like it or not, but at the same time, then God puts the responsibility now back on their ball court, and they had better do something with it, or God is big enough to take care of it. You don't have to say, I'm going to get even with that person. That person hurt me deeply, they hurt me badly, and I'm not going to let this thing go. I'm going to get back. No. Dearly beloved, let it go, let God handle it and take care of it. If not, it's going to keep you in prison. It'll keep you bound in prison in your own chains, in your own mind. And it'll go through all what I said in the beginning. Take that first page and go back over those things and say, this is the effect that unforgiveness is going to have in my life, in my marriage, in my home, and everything. And it'll be the same in a church. In a church. So not only do we need to receive it, but we need to give it because God has called us to forgive. When you forgive, you set two people free, and one of them is you. Regardless of what they do, set yourself free. Let God deal with them and take care of it. Don't try to harbor that thing in our hearts and keep it in our hearts and keep it boiling and festering. It'll make you miserable. It'll cause all these things to happen when we're not willing to forgive. And I need it. They need it. Even that person that's hurt you, wronged you, they need forgiveness. They need yours and they need God's. You need to give it. Don't just be a receiver all the time. Be a giver. We have a lot of people like that in the church today, unfortunately. 10% of the work and 10%, 100% of the work is done by 90% of the people, I should say. And it's the same thing with giving. The giving in the church is all done by 10% of the people. Do all of the 100% of the giving is done. And the rest just come and soak it up. They're just receivers. Don't ever give. But they soak it up. It's just like when we have activities around here, church. Now, I want to be kind and not get in the flesh. Amen. But when we have activities here and plan things, it's for the whole church. And it's for everyone. And we desire and want everyone to come and have a good time and have fun and enjoy it and so forth. But if you'll notice, in the 20 years almost I've been here, it's the same six people that do all the preparing, all the work, all the decorating, all the planning, and it's the same six people that stay after late at night to clean it and pick it all up, and the rest just come and soak it up. I'm sorry, that's not right. Get mad at me if you want to. We're a family. There's a church, and we all ought to work together. But I'll tell you, when it starts cleanup time, 90% flock out the door faster we can shake a stick and leave all the work and the cleanup and the kitchen and the mopping and everything else to the same six people that set it all up. Ought not be. Ought not be. If you want to partake of it all the time and enjoy it and be a part of it, then you ought to have a part in the rest of it. In the giving, the preparing, the planning, the cleaning. Don't leave it to the same people all the time. And the one thing I can say about our people that do it, I've never heard them complain about it. They got the kindest and sweetest hearts and attitude to just go on and do it. They're tired. Hey, they want to go home too. They'd like to go home early too. And I want to thank those of you, some of you that are here, that are part of that. And you have done a great job through the years with a great attitude. And I love you and appreciate you for it, and I thank you for it. But it wouldn't hurt for a few others to get in on it. Okay? We need to forgive. We need to give forgiveness. Because why? God has called us to. I think that's what our brother Peter was thinking about. You remember our brother Peter? Remember when he came to the Lord? And he said, "Now, Lord, this brother over here has hurt me and offended me. How many times should I forgive him? Surely seven's enough, isn't it?" And the reason why Peter said that, because you see, in the Jewish economy and in their practice, they were to do it three times. And that was it, three. So Peter figures, hey, I'm going to go better than that. I'm going to double it plus one. So what do you think, Lord? Seven times? Should I forgive my brother? And what did Jesus tell him? Oh, no, I tell you, Peter, 70 times 70. In other words, 490. In other words, what he was saying, an infinite number. An infinite number. You just keep on forgiving. I'll read it to you. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall I for my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." In other words, we just got to keep on forgiving, folks. We need to forgive it. Amen. We need to forgive it. I'll tell you another one. Now, here's a good one. Everybody listen up. This is going to help you. This is going to help you. Okay? Here's another one. Because forgiveness brings healing. Forgiveness brings healing. Now, I want you to follow along with me here. And the story here, so why should I forgive? Why should I give it? Because it brings healing in my life. Now, I'm going to give you, we have the sample there, and you have it, and that's the sample there with Joseph. You remember Joseph? And his brothers took him and grabbed him and threw him in a pit and tried to kill him and took the blood back to the coat of many colors because they were jealous and envy of him. And he took it back to their dad and said, "Here's Joe, he's dead, you know, and blah, blah, blah." And then they went back and felt kind of bad about that, went and pulled him back out, sold him to a caravan going on down to Egypt. He ends up getting sold on the slave block to Pharaoh and Pharaoh's house and a slave. And the next thing you know, he becomes the second in command of the most powerful man in all the world, Pharaoh, in Egypt. Huh? You see, what they meant for evil, God meant for good. And it came a time when a famine came and they showed up. And at that point, they didn't know it was Joseph, their brother, and he didn't know that that was their brothers. And you know how that story went? They went home, told the dad, and he come back and you tell him this. And when they told him that, that's when Joseph realized that these were his own brothers. And then and Joseph forgave them because he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good so that I could save a nation from famine." You see, it brings healing. Now, watch this. Now, this is good because this isn't mine. This isn't even out of the Bible. This isn't even out of a commentary. All right, this is benefits for giving forgiveness. Are you ready for it? This is from the Mayo Clinic. Okay, from the Mayo Clinic. All right, we're talking about a secular hospital clinic. How many of you are familiar with Mayo? All right, great Mayo. Look at it. The first thing it does, it'll give you a healthier relationship. Forgiveness, benefits of giving forgiveness by Mayo Clinic. Okay, here it is. Healthier relationships. Improved mental health. Now, folks, this is from a hospital. This is from the Mayo Clinic. Okay? Less anxiety and stress. Hello? Want to know why a lot of people are going through anxiety and stress? Maybe it's because of not forgiving. Now, this is what the Mayo Clinic discovered in their search and research. Lower blood pressure. How about that? You can have lower blood pressure tonight by forgiving. Okay? Fewer depression symptoms. These are the health benefits from forgiving. You see, we don't need to be on all the pills and medication we're taking. Maybe we just need to start forgiving. Hello. I like this one. A stronger immune system. Now, this is from the Mayo Clinic. This is what they have discovered through their research and tests of people that have been willing to forgive compared to those that don't. Improved heart health. This is why I wanted everybody here tonight. This is why everybody needed to be here. Because some are struggling with the first page. They're failing to forgive and offer forgiveness, and then they're having all those things that's going on in their life. When if they'll turn around and let it go and forgive, they can have all of these benefits. Which ones do you want? You want the first page or you want the second page? Improve self-esteem. These are the benefits of giving forgiveness according to the study and the research of Mayo Clinic. That's pretty good stuff. That's as good as Bible. Amen? Amen. So, that's the third one. So we're to give forgiveness, number one, because God has called us to forgive. We're to forgive because forgiveness brings healing. And then thirdly, because God enables us to forgive. He enables us to forgive. Look at this. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now, folks, if Jesus can forgive you, you and I can certainly forgive someone else. If Jesus has forgiven me, certainly I can forgive someone else. Someone once said this, whenever I see myself before God, how many of you ever take a look at yourself before God? And you see yourself standing there and realize something of what my blessed Lord has done for me at Calvary. When I stand before God and I see myself before Him and I realize what Jesus did for me on the cross of Calvary, I am ready to forgive anybody, anything. I cannot withhold it. I do not even want to withhold it. And that's from Martin Lloyd-Jones, great, fantastic Bible scholar and theologian. 1 John 2:12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. So folks, if Jesus can forgive you and I, then we ought to be willing to forgive others. Because may I remind us all that if you weren't here or weren't born or weren't on this planet and you or I were the only ones here, it was still my sin that put Jesus on the cross. And if He can forgive me when I see myself before God and I realize what my Lord did for me on the cross of Calvary behind the screen there, all right, well, here we got one over here, one over here, then there's no reason why I can't forgive you for what you've done, no matter what it is. No matter how bad or how wrong it is, how evil it is, what is said, because of what Jesus has done for me, He has forgiven me of all my sins. Washed me in the blood of the Lamb. Cleansed me. Covered me. Then, wow, I'll be able to do that for you. What if, here's all these ifs, conditions. What if our forgiveness was based and dependent on our forgiving someone else? What if God said, all right, here's the deal. I'm going to forgive you based on how you forgive them. Where would we be tonight? I think a lot of us would be in a lot of trouble. Matter of fact, a whole heap of trouble. But aren't you glad it doesn't work that way? Aren't you glad no matter what we did, Jesus paid it all? All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Jesus' blood washed it white as snow. Amen. I'm glad God doesn't depend on me to do that. And so there we go. So we see, because God enables you to. You see, what he is saying here, what John tells us in that verse and what Paul's telling, if God can forgive you and I for all that we've done, then surely we can forgive others for what they've done. Well, you don't know. No, I don't know what they've done. I don't know what they've said. I don't know how they've hurt or not hurt. But I do know what I did to Jesus. And I put him on the cross. And you say, well, and then someone says, well, I lived almost a perfect life. Almost. And I had just one sin, preacher. I stole a 1 cent piece of bubble gum in the drugstore when I was a kid. Okay, that's pretty good. But you know what? That one still sin needs to be forgiven. That one still sin would have put Jesus on that cross. He'd have died for that 1 cent piece of bubble gum. Just for you. And he's willing to forgive you of that. He's willing to forgive you of abortion. He's willing to forgive you of drugs and alcohol, whatever, wherever your life has been. Christ will forgive you for anything and everything you and I have ever done, ever thought of doing. He forgives us, and because he does, then we ought to be willing to forgive others for what they have done. And God enables you and I to do it. He says, listen, if God will forgive you for Christ's sake, then you and I ought to be, see, God forgave us for what Jesus did on the cross for us. And so we ought to be willing to forgive others. We need to give it as well as receive it. We all want to receive it, but sometimes we shy off and we stagger a little bit and hesitate to give it. Well, you know what they've done. No, I don't, but God does. Let God take care of it. You get those 6 or 7 things we gave you, those 8 things on what forgiveness will do for you. That's some good stuff. I found that Mayo Clinic, and I said, wow, that's pretty cool. Not bad, Mayo. That's not my stuff. I'm not that brilliant. But doctors at Mayo Clinic are. Praise God for that. Amen. Okay? And you can go out and look it up. Go out and so type it in yourself. Type in Mayo Clinic, forgiveness. On your computer, you'll find it. All right? So let's look at the third one. We'll go home. All right, what to say? Okay, so we come to this thing that we all need to receive forgiveness. We all need to give forgiveness. So how do we obtain it? How do we attain it? Our way to attain forgiveness. Everybody ready? Here we go. First of all, look at verse 32 again. All right, verse 32 says, forgive one another even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You know how I attain forgiveness? I attain it from God. I attain it from God. Listen to this verse. I think you have that in your notes. This is really good. Psalms 86:5. For thou, Lord, art good. How many believe God is good? Now watch this. And ready to forgive. Are you with me? Look at the next one. And plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. Aren't you glad that God is plenteous in mercy? He don't have just a little. He don't have just so much and it's given out. He's plenty in mercy to forgive you and I. He's ready to do it on all of them that call upon him. So how do I attain it tonight? I attain forgiveness from God, even as God hath forgiven you for Christ's sake. And then notice I obtain it through Christ, because that's what he said. Even as God hath forgiven you for Christ's sake. And so we're forgiven through that. And you know why? Because why? Sin separates us from God. How many of you agree with that? Sin separates us from God. And so therefore, we need to attain it. Amen? Listen to Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities, all right, that's your sin, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Now watch this, that he will not hear you. Y'all got that? Did you get that verse? See, if we're harboring sin and hard feelings and all of this stuff in our hearts and against someone else and not willing to forgive them and stuff, hey, folks, don't bother praying and asking God to forgive you, because God says, I don't hear you. Hello? Jesus even said it in the New Testament. He said, if you're not willing to forgive others, then my Father's not willing to forgive you. And here, right here, it tells me that if I've got sin and iniquity in my life, it hides God's face from me, and He doesn't hear me. So that's why I need to attain forgiveness tonight, and I need to attain it from God through Christ, because why? My sin has separated me from God. Amen? All right? But I like this. But the cross redeems us. But the cross redeems us. The price was paid for our sin. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. 1 Peter put it this way, our brother Peter, for as much as ye know not that you were redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, I obtain forgiveness from God through Christ because my sin separates me, the cross has redeemed me, and Jesus has forgiven me. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, church, because the wages of sin is death, amen? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, here's one I really like. Psalms 32:1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Aren't you glad your sin's covered tonight? Because why? You obtained forgiveness from God through Christ, because your sin separated. The cross redeemed you. Jesus paid for it, and Jesus forgave us. So you see, we all need forgiveness, and we all need to give forgiveness. And there's some good reasons for it, if nothing else, for what the Scripture said here tonight. We're commanded to forgive one another. And I know there's not a person here tonight that hasn't been hurt by somebody or wronged by someone, maybe many times over, and harshly, and bad, and wicked, and evil, and all kinds of things. And let me tell you, I don't minimize it. And it hurts. It hurts. And it hurts deep. It hurts deeply. And it hurts even more deeply, I think, when it comes from our family members. But you know, even my family, I don't have a problem with my family so much, my immediate blood family, all right, my daughters and grandkids and all that. You know what hurts me more than that is my church family. It's my church family that hurts more than anything. That says things, does things, sticks a knife in you, twists it, pulls it out. That hurts deeply. And you can carry that and keep carrying it, or you can get rid of it. It's up to you. You can hang on to it, let it tear you up, keep you up at night and sleepless, or you can let it go. And you can forgive them. The choice is yours. Now again, regardless of them, free yourself. Get yourself out of prison and free yourself. And let God worry about it. Because when you do what's right, then God will do what's right. Because He always does what's right. And the Lord says, hey, vengeance is mine. I'll take care of it. I'll repay and let God do it. But free yourself. Release yourself. And let that page that has 8 on there that the Mayo Clinic gave us to help you. And have your joy back. But it can't hurt. And like I say, as much as that did, it's my brothers and sisters in Christ that hurt me more than anything. And that's a tough one sometimes to get over and to let it go. But you see, when God lays these messages on your heart and you start studying them, he starts speaking to your heart in your office and in your times with him, and he gets you to crawl under your desk. I have a big desk I can get under. I have a big hole under it. And he says, now let's get alone, and how about letting me handle this and take care of it? He says, I know you're hurt, and I know this was tough, and I know it's hard on you, and you're wondering why. So you do, you just, why? God, I don't understand. God, I don't understand this. He goes, let me take care of it. I can deal with this. You can't. And if you deal with it, you're going to make a mistake. And you're going to say things and do things you'll regret and can't take back. But if you let me deal with it, I can take care of it. I have a big fly swatter. I have a big thumb. Let me handle it, son. And trust me. And then forgive them. Forgive them in your heart. Because God knows your heart. Let it go, boy. Move on. Get over it. Or you're going to rob yourself of night's sleeps. You're going to rob yourself of joy. You're going to rob yourself of having that relationship with me, because you're going to become so wrapped up in the wrong, you can't even enjoy the present. I know that to be a fact, and that's why it's on there tonight. Let it go. Forgive them. If you tell them, tell them. Call them, write them. Just say, I want to let you know I forgive you. You don't have to say nothing else. You don't have to go into a big song and dance and write a book. And let God take care of it. Release yourself. Free yourself. You and I need forgiveness tonight. We need it personally. We need it spiritually. We need to give it tonight. Because God's commanded us to forgive one another. We need to give it, and then we need to obtain it. You see, it's always going to be back, comes back to us, folks. It's me, O Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother or my sister. It's me, O Lord. Because God, when I see myself before you and what you did for me on Calvary, I stand guilty before you. What's the song the choir sings? We stand all alone before Almighty God. So I need your forgiveness. You need mine. I need his forgiveness. I need to obtain it, and I need to give it. And folks, we need to give it freely. No, well, if you do this and do that, I'll forgive you. No. I don't find that in here. And trust and believe God. Take this little simple message tonight and keep these notes in your pocket, in your Bible, and bring them out and go back over it. And when something comes up in the days or weeks ahead, go get this thing out and say, now if I don't forgive, look what all these things it's going to do to me. I don't like this page. I'm getting off this page. I want to get over on this page. I want what Mayo Clinic says I can have. And I can assure you, if you take the time to study it, you'll find all those things that the Mayo Clinic gave us, you'll find it in the Scripture. It's just wisdom from God's Word that God has given to professional men and women that have lived in this and worked with it and done the testing. And so, praise God. And so, if this pastor has done anything at all, said anything at all to any of you at any given time, first of all, I ask for your forgiveness. I need your forgiveness. And I desire your forgiveness. So if you would, it'll do things. It's going to set you free, and it'll set me free. All right? And the same goes for you. For anything that's been said to me, done to me, so forth, whatever, I want you to know you are forgiven. Lock, stock, and barrel. You are free to move about the country. You are free in Christ. You are free indeed. Yes. Father, thank you for tonight. Bless our time as we go. I pray, Lord, we've learned something. Lord, I guess the biggest heartache and disappointment is the rest of our family's not with us. As I know this would be very beneficial to all of us. But God, you seem to always have here who you want here. You know who needs this the most. And so, Lord, help us to apply this in our lives now, because we all need forgiveness, and we all need to give it, and we need to obtain it, and we obtain it from the only one who can give us forgiveness, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord. So if there's anything we need to do tonight, let's settle it, get it taken care of, so that we can go home and sleep good and sleep well. Praise God. And have a good day tomorrow. And truly wake up in the morning. This truly is a day the Lord has made.